you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good work today. I have to sleep in today because I had this appointment, so I think it's a little bit easier.
Glad you were able to make it. Do you have a debit credit card with you?
Of course. Everybody wants to have money. So what kind of place is this? Like, can you explain? Like, I've been to so many different places. It's like, I was just wondering, like, what kind of...
Oh, sure. So, it's a psychotherapy clinic in terms of practitioners, mostly psychologists, so you'll be seeing a psychologist today. They're all licensed except for our postdoctoral fellow. Yeah. So he's not the person that you'd be seeing, it's just someone who also works here. So we also have a licensed clinical social worker who works here. The usual setup is that there are several offices in this building. This is the administrative office. Thank you so much.
The second page for credit card authorization, I don't need to fill out one.
We can discuss that one after your appointment.
Right.
Thank you. But so there are these individual offices that everybody has the session individually in. So we don't do any like group therapy.
So it's kind of like The Sopranos where you just like sit down with like...
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, without any of the other drama.
Okay. I got you.
That's
the
typical setup, yeah.
All right. See, I've never been to one of these before, so.
I
don't know.
Thank you.
job, huh?
Mm-hmm. You love your job, huh?
Most days. What do you do?
Currently, I am an electrician. I want to say I'm a power lineman, but you know, I'm not in that trade because I don't have a CDL. Very high stress job, regardless. But right now, I'm just climbing cable trays. I work in plants that I don't want to be in, and pull wire on trays that hook up tanks and pumps that pump chemicals and oil to. That's not the main thing, but basically, you know, my company hired me to do something, which was build a substation, connect power lines to the substations, and switch me into the electrical field, and they changed my job title, and gave me a dollar pay cut, and just sent me in all these places. You know.
Do you work for Entergy, or?
No, like, I've done Entergy projects with another company, but basically, I work for subcontractors through Entergy when Entergy can't, like, hire, but, yeah.
Okay. All right. How long have you been doing that?
Probably the past 2-3 years.
How long, I'm sorry?
2 or 3 years. I'm 29. I'm about to be 30 years old, so I'm like kind of going through my midlife crisis, I guess. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think so, but I don't know what a midlife crisis is, but you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It used to be you bought a red sports car.
Yeah, and you rode around with a 19-year-old girl.
That's right. Right. Yeah. That's what it used to be. Yeah. I don't know what it is today. It's probably could be different. You married, single, divorced?
Oh, I'm single. Okay. Single. Yes, sir.
You got any children?
No kids yet.
Okay. All right. How far in school did you go?
I made it to ninth grade. I got ninth grade education. I went to military school where they gave me a high school diploma and a GED in 6 months instead of doing 4 years of high school.
Okay. So you have a GED at this point?
Yes.
That's fine. You a native Louisiana?
Well, no, I'm not a native, but I lived back and forth here from 19. My brother, he lives here, and I moved in with him, so I've been bouncing back and forth from Jackson, Mississippi from 19 to current today.
I've been to Jackson.
Yeah, there's nothing there.
Yeah. I wasn't going to say that, but yeah, there's not a lot.
Yeah. A bunch of potholes, you get to the Fondren, and then after that, you know.
It's the capital, though,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like a bomb went off and nothing.
Yeah, it has some federal buildings and state.
They're probably all shut down right now with the government shut down, so yeah. The whole city's probably just dead right now.
Now, let's see here. So it looks like you've had some, tell me about your previous counseling and therapy.
Basically, I've been to like Region 8 centers. I don't know what that would be called down here, but in Mississippi it's Region 8, basically where a bunch of social workers, social worker office, they handle behavior therapy such as like problem childs where, you know, if your kid isn't good at school, they'll come pop them full of Adderall, Ritalin. And in between that, they do traumatic things, but mostly from what I could tell, in the lobby, you just had a bunch of crackheads trying to get, you know, their Xanax and whatever, so they can sell their bills on the street to, you know, get whatever. So when I physically, like, would show up there and come there, like, my father even went there. So, like, when you go to places like that, they sit down, they ask you what's wrong, what's bothering you that day. And then whatever pharmaceutical rep comes in, whatever pill they're pumping that week, they kind of just throw it on you and change it every other time. And basically, I went in there with suicidal thoughts, you know, not saying that I would carry them out, but, you know, I was in a severe depression, and I went to that particular place, and, you know, my father committed suicide as well, so, you know, I was going through a lot at the time, and basically, I was just asking for help, you know, and instead of getting the help I needed, I just, you know, I wasn't very well listened to, I guess. And I guess kind of through whatever
like I said, you know, here's, try this medication, try this one, try this one. 2 weeks later, try this one, try this one. And I went to many different places and doctors to the point, you know, I just developed an anxiety disorder. You know, I kind of have a fear, not a fear, but I have a dislike for, you know, places like this. You know, you seem really nice, but, you know, it's just...
Well, thank you. Most on our minds.
Yeah.
So what medications?
I've been on so many over the past. I mean, I think it all started with what was it? Like Zoloft. They put me on things like Zoloft and my mom's a nurse. She tells me to eat prednisone all the time, so I don't know what that is, but that has nothing to do. That, I mean, there's so many different names, like...
Yeah, there are.
I mean, the Paxil, I remember. Yeah.
Okay.
They put me on Somas at one point.
Okay.
Put me on a low grade of Xanax at one point. I'm currently prescribed to Klonopin, but that's not through them. That's through MEA Medical Clinic, but...
So you get Klonopin right now?
Yeah. Yes, sir. I'm on a 0.5 milligram dose, I think.
0.5?
Yeah, but they tell me to double the dose, and they give me 60 a month, so that's, you know.
And do you see a psychiatrist, or?
I don't know, I just went to a medical doctor. Yeah, I suffered what I would call a minor heart attack, you know. I don't know what they called it, but basically when I went home to Jackson not too long ago, I was just there on business. I work on the road. Like I said, I was working in Baton Rouge. I have a travel trailer. I had to take it to Jackson. I had a lot of problems going on at once, like repairs and deadlines and, you know, things that needed to be done. And then I went to DMV. And I was at the DMV. I got really, really, really angry. And my blood pressure went through the roof. And, you know, my arm started hurting. You know, I couldn't drive. I had double vision. So I pulled in an emergency room real quick. And
sure.
When I went to the emergency room, they were like, hey, sign all this paperwork. And I was like, no, check my blood pressure. Like, I need my check. I don't know what's going on. I never felt like this before. And I don't want to sign into the ER having a panic attack, you know, if it's just a panic attack.
Is that what they diagnosed you with?
I don't know what they diagnosed me with, to be honest.
Okay.
But I ended up leaving that emergency room, and I went to an MEA clinic, which is a doctor's office that was still open, and basically put me on a heart monitor, just told me that I need to calm down and relax, and then they prescribed me that. So, yeah, I've been on that for probably like the past week and a half.
Okay. So it sounds like you may have had an anxiety attack.
Yeah, maybe. Okay. Felt like a heart attack. Yeah.
Well, right. You know, an interesting story. Won't take very long. Early on, panic disorder, actually, anxiety attacks really weren't diagnosed before about 1960s, late 60s, early 70s. Long before that, say back in the Civil War, where we have some pretty good records of the medical care part of this, because it was not very good. Because many of the soldiers in the Civil War on both sides, what they died from was not from being shot. It was from because they suffered cuts and injuries that they had infections from, right? Because we didn't have antibiotics.
Yeah.
A good deal of them died from the, you know.
Just got wounds.
Just superficial wounds, which is kind of bizarre. But today, you know, we save so many people. Especially, you know, we're in combat, you know, because we have advanced life support systems. But anyway, back in the Civil War, they used to call anxiety attacks false heart attacks. Because the docs didn't know. They'd bring the guys into the tent and they would think that they had a heart attack. And then they, you know, discovered they didn't, you know, die from it or whatever, so they started to call them false heart attacks. So there is a definite link between at least the general symptoms of the anxiety attack and the heart problems. But luckily, anxiety attacks don't kill you.
But I felt like I was dying. I could explain it all day. But, I've had panic attacks before, and I just get short of breath, and
How often do you have panic attacks?
I've been suffering from those since mainly since my dad died.
Okay.
I've been going through a lot for the past 10 years. When I go and talk to the doctor and tell him about my depressions and stuff, really my depression. Like, I can be depressed about the world and everything and things that I can't change, but, I kind of accepted that. But, the main thing is it changed my character, my behavior, if I'm not able to control myself or do what I want to do, if I'm sitting there in a crowded room full of people and I just want to be an outgoing person or something, I can't because I'm too bummed out because I can't, and that kind of depresses me because, I wouldn't say social anxiety, it's just the fact that have anxiety causes depression. That's the basic thing that I can tell you.
They're often linked together, right?
And I would often tell doctors this, why do you suffer from depression? It must be because your dad killed himself and, your life kind of sucks and your jobs that you're not doing and things like that. But it's like, no, I'm really depressed because I can't. Besides night terrors and stuff that I had at night, with all that revolt, I can't control myself. I can't control some of my moods sometimes, just because of the anxiety, The anxiety, if I'm hyperventilating or I don't feel comfortable somewhere, being quiet, being in my shell and stuff, that kind of affects my mood and affects my behavior, and it all kind of stems from that, so.
And now you see something here. You've been diagnosed with depression?
I've been diagnosed with, depression and post-traumatic stress disorder.
Anything else?
With the depression, they said it was kind of like bipolar and manic depression, which is basically like bipolar. I don't feel like I'm bipolar, but...
Okay.
I don't argue with people. I felt like that diagnosis was wrong, but it's easy to sit there and tell somebody something like that and then just
tell somebody. have you ever been on a mood stabilizers?
Yes, I tried that this past year, and they put me on something. It started with a T.
Ticker phone?
Oh, something like that. Yeah.
Topamax.
I don't know the names of these medications anymore. I just get handed a box of pills and told to try something. But, it made me sick at work. I had to work some days, 6-7 days a week. So, it really makes me sick and nauseated. And, when I'm telling my boss, my doctor told me to take this medicine and I got to take a break every 15 minutes and drink. What makes you special? Who are you? Get off my job. Dry mouth, you get things. I had a salivary gland stone at one point. I blocked up my gland, something in my tongue. I think it was from getting dry mouth so much.
What did they do for that?
They didn't do anything. They couldn't tell me what was wrong. And I Googled it and I pressed that thing up and I cut it out myself. So that was me. And I had a little rock about that. Kind of crazy, huh? For things you do without medical insurance. I had a hard life, but I'm working hard. I got a 401k now.
That's
what I'm saying. I have health insurance. Why not use it?
And
I actually didn't even get a check this week because they said your health benefits overlap how much you actually worked last week. Because I told you I was getting all this stuff done, and I got rushed down here.
So, do you have any physical pain? Any injuries?
Not really, just everyday muscle pains and stuff from work.
Strain,
balancing.
Any history of head injuries? No motor vehicle accidents?
The only thing I can remember is when I was a kid and my brother flipped me over the couch and I hit the corner of the chair and I that kind of concussed me a little bit, but nothing recent, if I did have a brain disorder, I grew up that way. It's not going to affect my moves today.
And in school, Let's see here. I'm sorry. Were you in special classes or in any special ed?
No, I wasn't in special ed or anything, but I remember when I was real little, I went to a Catholic school and they put me in something called reading band. I don't know if that was how I was advanced or too slow, or they just didn't like my brother that was causing problems, so they wanted to embarrass me or something. But other than that, you know, no, I mean, I was a smart kid. You know, I just didn't do my homework. I scored A's and B's on my tests.
Okay, and, all right, so no learning problems.
No learning disabilities, anything like that.
All right. Good. All right, so it sounds like, you know, obviously, that's a pretty big thing. It sounds like your dad committed suicide?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Can you just tell me a little about that? I know you just met me and probably don't.
I mean, I'm willing to talk about it, but, yeah, so my dad, you know, he was a hardworking, you know, blue-collar guy, I always followed in line, always, you know, instilled in my brain what I need to do. You know, this is how the world works. It's not going to work the way that you think. So, you know, I didn't listen to him a lot. I did my own thing. But, you know, you live and learn, I guess. You know, I got shame and guilt from that all the time. So, basically, you know, this man worked his life away, went to work, worked 40-hour week, same schedule, did years and years and years. Well, he put out for these people so much, you know, like, hurt his back at work. And after he hurt his back at work, you know, he had to get back surgery. So he had time off and everything like that. So after the back surgery, basically when they did whatever fusion back together in his bones or something, a nerve grew in his scar tissue. So every time he moved, he couldn't, you know, constant pain all the time. And, went back to work, he ran and injured his back, you know, and then they had to come and they're like, look, we can't cut you open, you constantly had this back problem when you went to work again and trying to strain and all that. So basically they, like, his company laid him off because he was missing work and everything, so his health insurance cut out. So I currently was unemployed, you know, I was doing the wrong things in life, you know, at 17, 18 years old, not listening, not going to get in a 9-to-5, you know, regular job. I want to be a musician. I'm going to do this, Dad. I got all these dreams and all these things, and you're old. You don't know what you're talking about. I don't need to go get an everyday job or whatever. So, you know, basically, I'm watching my hero, you know, crawl on his hands and knees on the floor, you know, a lot of pain. And I was barring a truck one day, and I wrecked it, of course, and, you know, I just really wasn't listening at the time, and I added more stress to the current situation. I don't know what was going on in his mind. I can't really tell you that, but, you know, basically, after the wreck of the truck the weekend, got a phone call kept ringing, and I couldn't find him. I found him dead in the driveway, and, you know, I heard the muffled blast, and, like, I was laying in bed, I was being lazy, and my dad was like, hey, man, you're gonna get out of bed today, you're gonna try to do something different today, are you gonna, you know, make an effort to something positive, you know? I was like, yeah. He was like, well, I need you to put the tailor in the shed for me. I was like, okay, you know, I thought it was weird that he was up walking around, you know, but I didn't even roll over. You know, for all I know, he could have been aiming a shotgun at me, you know, for, I don't know his mindset, you know, but it just it is what it is, and, you know, I deal with it. I don't.
How old was your dad?
47. Yeah.
Whew. Oh.
But basically, you know, I got a little guilt and shame from that, you know.
Absolutely. Thanks, sir.
No, I'll be all right.
All right. Well,
But, you know, I got a lot of guilt and shame from that, and there's nothing I can do. I live with it. Of course, after it happened, I was separated from my family. You know, I didn't have the proper way to grieve. And I got sent to a rehab center for marijuana is what they told me. I had to go to rehab for. And, you know, like I said, I used to want to be cool or something like that, you know. And, basically, they sent me to a rehab center because of the wreck. I was arrested before that. There were pain pills in my father's truck that were his, and they weren't in my name. So basically, that county is like a hard ass. So they threw me in jail. When they threw me in jail, they had to bond his truck out. When they bonded his truck out, you know, my pee was clean, but I had marijuana in my system. So they charged me with a DUI, driving under the influence, you know. So basically, they sent me to the probation, and probation told me to go to rehab, that I'm gonna screw my whole life up because of this traumatic situation. So within a week or two, I was at a rehab center for 3 months. And during this time in rehab, they exposed me to traumatic therapy, I guess, you know, like, hey, post-traumatic stress, basically, you know, you have triggers that trigger that, you know, like trigger your emotions or trigger the things that you don't like. I don't like muffled gun blasts. I don't like to see people's brains hanging out of their head and stuff. So what do you think they made me fucking watch for, you know, 4 or 5 days? They want me to watch Full Metal Jacket on loop of the guy sitting in the bathroom stall blowing his brains out. They want me to sit there and exposure therapy.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, that's like the only thing. Then I needed somebody to talk to after, and they were like, no, we're cutting you loose. You know, we gave you like a $25 week check while you're in the rehab center. And that's the only reason why I agreed to go, you know, it was because I was like, well, I need help, you know, like, I need.
You did not like the exposure.
I told them I didn't like it, you know.
Okay.
But they wanted to put cotton swabs in my mouth and put buds of marijuana in front of me and measure my saliva levels. And I guess their conclusion in Mississippi for their Mississippi training was post-traumatic stress disorder leads to addiction, which kind of makes sense because they're in the same thing. So let's just measure saliva levels. I'm going to put a glass of alcohol in front of him because we asked him what his favorite bourbon was. Or let's put a bud in front of him and see what that smell and see if his saliva levels, and based on the saliva levels, like, we'll see if that, if he wants it, if he's going to move, like, they record your reactions to these things. And they recorded me without knowing it. I'm telling the story that I told you, you know, from details from smelling blood, flies, ants eating brains, how long I had to sit there, everything described in detail, like full detail. I didn't even know it. So then they're playing that the whole time, you know, like just fucking with you, you know, like really fucking with you, like putting you at the most traumatic state possible and putting some type of.
Even after like sign consent.
I don't know what I signed. I'm a dumbass kid, you know. I'm a scared 19-year-old kid.
I hear you.
So they put you through all that, and then they want to put something that they think that you're addicted to. So they put you through the most traumatic thing that they can put you through, instead of a glass of alcohol or a piece of weed in front of you and trying to measure everything, and then tell you go back to rehab, go sit around and sit with all these fucking junkies shooting up heroin and, you know, don't know what the hell, you know, they're fucking crazy people, to be honest, you know, I mean, not a lot of junkies are, like, sane, you know, because insanity, and I gotta sit there and constantly listen to how they keep messing up, and then, I guess I'm there for a purpose, you know, like, I can help people, but I ain't get the help I need, and I got very, very spiteful about it,
you smoking cannabis now?
No, I have not smoked cannabis in a while. Like a very long time.
Okay.
About the past 2 years. I drank too much. And I cut back a lot, you know, but I still have the occasional drink after work. You know, I might have a glass of bourbon. I might have a beer or two, but do I constantly get drunk? No, have I? Yeah. I'd kill a fifth of Jameson. I used to, you know, I drink a bottle of Jameson all in one night. Just kill it. The whole thing. And just sit there. I mean, I found myself, like, when I drink, I can drink and have a drink, be social, you know? But if I keep drinking, like, I get depressed, you know?
So it is
a depressant.
So now you just drink socially?
Yeah, basically I have like 2 beers and maybe a glass of bourbon and, you know, time to go, you know? But sometimes I don't have self-control.
Okay. they have you like an AA or NA meeting?
No, I've been to them before, and like I said, I don't like to sit around and talk about the good times of getting high and the benefits of not getting high. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather do than talk. I don't need a counseling session to tell me what I need to do. I know I have responsibilities. I handle my responsibilities. The only thing unresponsible I did today was I told myself I was going to wake up and go to work for an hour and then come here. I didn't do that. I decided to sleep in and take advantage of it.
I slipped in myself this morning. Okay, let me ask you.
To be honest, I did smoke cannabis before I started drinking. Like, when I took away, like, my cannabis at the time, you know, I mean, I'm not saying it's a cure-all thing. There's, like, responsibilities to cannabis and everything. I do see a medical purpose for it. I do think that it's a lot better than a barbiturate, you know, or anything. Like, clonopins and stuff, like, clonopin I'm taking is really good.
No, I got you.
But I'm just saying, like...
I got you out of the whole ranking of danger of cannabis. For most people, is relatively, it looks pretty safe compared to a lot of drugs.
I mean, depending on how you use it, you know? I mean, if I want to smoke a joint and eat a meal at night and go to sleep with peace rather than, you know, take a barbiturate and wake up all fog brain and have to run to work and get in a wreck in the morning, or, you know, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's where I'm at. I haven't taken a barbiturate. I used to have a substance abuse problem, as you can from me describing when I was a young kid. You know, I'm just now allowed to be prescribed the barbiturates again. Am I using them? No. Do I even want to take them? No. You know, but they make me feel better. But sometimes they make me feel too good. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm not saying like that's a desirable thing. I'm just too relaxed. It's not good for my atmosphere. It's not good for the type of work I do. It's not good for driving. It's not good for, you know, my social. Like, if I have a social drink, I might forget that I took my medicine. And why the fuck am I, you know, the room sitting and making all the wrong poor decisions and waking up next to this woman I don't know. You know, like those type of things. You know, but it's my first time taking a barbiturate, honestly, since. Probably I was about 19, 20 years old when my dad died. You know, like I made a major change in my life. The only thing that like I really fucked up on, like narcotic wise, was cocaine. You know, I mean, I did, you know, dabble with cocaine here and there when I discovered money and stuff, but I've not done that. I mean, that's just being honest, you know.
No, I got you.
But that's
it. He had the grand tour. Any pain meds? Any opioids? Perks? Heroin?
So many offers. I mean, I got a job site. So
Vicodin? None of that.
My back hurts so bad, and I never tried any of that shit, you know.
Well, that's good. That's
I mean, I've been to rehab centers. I know where that leads. I know what roads that leads.
It's nowhere good, is it?
Yeah. I mean, I see people in the streets out here in New Orleans every day, you know.
All the time. Absolutely.
No, but, you know, like, no, nothing like that. I don't even like the fact that I have to take a barbiturate, but it helps, you know? And that's why I asked for a clonopin, because, like, clonopin, what I noticed, like, I didn't like it before because I built a tolerance for it. Like, well, it didn't do anything for it. You know, you build a tolerance, but that tolerance keeps me calm. I'm not having as many panic attacks. I don't stress as much, you know? And I take it at night, I wake up, I go to work, and I do my thing, but in the morning time, I fall brain, and you know, like now, see, I'm not on my medication now. I'm just settling, rambling, blah, blah, blah. By the end of the day, like midday, I'm spazzing out the walls, you know, just like I'm worrying about all the wrong things. You know?
I guess. Let me ask you this. You know, obviously, you know, you got a pretty complicated background here. You got a lot going on here.
Yeah.
I mean, you got the, you know, the kind of trauma. Which is, you know, from your dad and everything. How could you not, right? You've got at least a history of substance use.
Yes, sir.
You got a history of anxiety and depression. What am I forgetting? Yeah, well, that's a lot right there. What are you looking for in treatment?
I mean, I don't know, you know. I can't tell you that answer. I just want to be happy, you know. I just want to be able to function in a normal society. I don't want to, like, see the negative in things. I don't want to see things for what they are, you know. Sometimes I want to be dumb, you know. But it's kind of hard when you're, like, going around and you see things different than other people, you know. Like, I have different perspectives. I have empathy, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's not always good. It's not always bad. Sometimes it's good, but the majority is negative. So what treatments do I want? Do I want love? Do I want friends? I don't know. That's why I'm here with you today. I don't know what I need in life.
Well, it sounds like you don't want exposure treatments.
I'll tell you, no, I do not. I mean, I've dealt with, like, PTSD to the point, you know, I cry at night, you know? Like, I have my night terrors, you know? I wake up in tears. I talk in my sleep. I've had many ex-girlfriends and women in my life tell me, you know, hey, when I'm laying in bed with you, and what are you asking somebody to wake up for? Mm-hmm. What are you, and I'm just, and I relive that moment, you know, constantly, you know? Sometimes I hear things and I can't. That's why I start rambling. You know, like when I'm at work, I hear a bang or something that sounds like a muffled gun blast, I start immediately trying to leave the area, trying to find something else to do. I try to, I don't talk about it, you know, just like.
So you get a startle kind of reaction.
In a way, yes, in a guilt form, you know, it's more guilt and shame, you know. If, like, somebody tells me to do something my dad told me to do like 10 years ago, you know, like, I feel a lot of guilt and shame. I can't bring it back, I can't undo it. I'll try every day to become the best person I can be a better person. Not for self gain, you know, I'm a very selfish person. I try to help my family, try to help my brother, try to help my mother. And I got a lot of responsibilities, a lot of pressure. Some I put on myself, you know. Like, those people have their own life, you know. I build it all up on myself, but that's just the type of person I am.
You sleeping at night?
Sometimes.
How many hours on the average?
I mean, 4 to 5 hours a night. And that's trying to go to sleep, or I fall asleep at 7 o'clock and I gotta wake up at 4 o'clock and I don't want to get up, you know. It's like, the longer I sleep, the more. I do have a sleeping problem, you know. I mean,
has a doc looked at that?
Not really. Okay. I tell them I have a sleeping problem when I go to, you know, like a state governing place, and they're like, here's some Sonas, you know, here's some Ambien, you know.
Right. Right.
I've actually got up out of bed and walked down the street on that crap, and that scared the shit out of me, because I woke up and I didn't know where I was at.
They can definitely. You hear any voices?
Never heard a voice. Well, besides, like, I'm not gonna say I hear voices in my head, but you know, everybody has a Jimmy Kirk, I think. You know, like, you never right from wrong.
Yeah, your own.
And I hear my dad's voice sometimes, you know. I mean, my dad telling me, hey, man, maybe you shouldn't be, you know, but it's not a distinct voice. It's just like an inner judgment. I want to say, hey, you know, like, I don't hear whispers or anything. I just have a moral compass of, you know, what's right.
Any visual hallucinations? See anything? Yeah, okay,
all right. No, just more or less, it's all in my thought. Like, if I go home to the house that I happen in, which we still own in Mississippi, that's why I live, so, like, I just remember, I don't physically see it, but it's a house full of ghosts, you know? Like, it's memories, it's bad things.
No, I guess.
It's just, like, memories that replay. It's not about that. It's just, like, growing up from happy, sad, Christmas, everything. Like, it's just an empty, condemned, run-down house.
Do you live here now?
Currently, I'm staying with a former coworker of mine while I'm in town. Like I said, I'm over at Cornerstone, a chemical plant. I'm doing some electrical work. Work for a company, MMR, based out of Baton Rouge.
How long do you think you'll be in town?
Probably next month. You know, is what they're telling me, mid-February. But they don't tell me where I'm going or what's going on there.
You have no idea.
I have no idea. They don't tell me things like this. So being shipped around, like, I tried to see counseling in Texas, and, you know, Texas lady kind of just take the money and, you know, get to know me, and, you know, they get the cry spell out of me, and that's about it. And, you know, I'm able to trust somebody or fall in love with somebody. When I left Texas, of course, they tried to build me 20 times since I've been there. And, you know, I'm just trying to build a good relationship, make a good friend, you know, or somebody that can, you know, give me a little moral compass of direction, a purpose, or, you know, or Because I'm turning 30, man. I'm like, I've lived a complicated life. I'm a really simple person. I'm laid back. But people like me, you know? I mean.
I imagine. You seem to be likable.
But I'm an introvert, like, believe it or not. Like, as open as I am, you know? Like, I spend a lot of time alone. You know? I just want to be open and honest, but. To be honest, right now the barbiturates, I think they help me sleep, but I oversleep and like treatment wise, you know, I wish the damn like anything in the world, I can have my marijuana back.
What? Well,
that's just being real. I can eat a good meal. I can, you know.
You probably have done these before. This is just consent for treatment. You know, for me, that is. It's basically about confidentiality, you know, and you know all that, but just kind of take a look and then just initial.
Create some benefits, create a positive change, research, you know, most of the time, people make some things feel better, engage the process, you know, some therapy, it's essential. Basically, you give me tasks to do, right? And I'm going to try to do those tasks at home. That's what I'm agreeing to. And
right.
I'm just going to go through it with you just so I know.
That's fair enough.
Confidentiality. Basically.
I don't talk to folks unless you sign a release for me to do that.
Turn them forward. Hit the laws.
Harry, how do you say your last name?
It's Lehmeyer.
What? Lehmeyer. And that's
Lameyer.
Lameyer, okay.
Consultation fees, phone, 10 minutes. Basically, if I needed to call you on the phone after hours or something like that, you're going to charge me or something.
I think so. Yeah.
You think so? You don't know?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because that's the same, yeah. Like, call to exceed 10 minutes, you'll be assessed appropriate fee. That's fine. Everybody needs your mic. Missed calls, reschedules appointment if I miss an appointment, or cancellation of appointments. So if I don't call and cancel my appointment or change it within 24 hours, then I'm charged like I can't.
Yeah. And I didn't set this up, by the way. This is the agency.
Yeah. How to reach me? This is your personal number, or is this?
No, this is the clinic. I think you end up getting the clinical director usually. But see, I'm only here one day a week at this clinic, yeah.
Where else are you the rest of the week? At the house, enjoying life?
I wish. You know, I work at another center down the street from here, actually.
You cheaper?
Well, I don't know.
They just pay you, huh? Which one pays you more? I imagine this place. It's pretty bougie. Got music and old furniture. They have a nice home setting. I like this place.
It's nice. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's very homey. And God knows I've worked in less homey places.
What was that? 18th?
Today is the... I need to work myself.
It's the 18th.
Yep.
That's a consent form, sir.
That's good.
Yeah, I tried to talk to my mom about, you know, suicidal thoughts one time, and next thing I know, I was strapped on a board and taken to a treatment center, I guess, a hospital. They put me in there for a 24-hour evaluation. I swear, that was the scariest, worst place I've ever been in my life.
Was that in Mississippi?
Yeah, that was in Mississippi at the medical center. But, you know, I just told my mom, you know, hey, you know, sometimes I have suicide. I was like, oh, you do? Like, it's a time to call the phone.
You have any suicidal thoughts now?
No, not at all. You know, I mean, I got a lot to live for. I got a lot of people counting on me. Okay. Stuff, you know?
Right. Well, here's what I'm thinking. Given that we're nearing our time, I want to leave some time to talk about what we could do. Certainly, you know, with everything that's going on here, we'll try to at least come up with a kind of a goal, something to do with you that would be the And what I'm thinking is that I would at least, you probably, well, I should ask you this first. Okay, so you had exposure. Have you had any cognitive behavioral treatment?
What would that mean? I mean, can you explain it to me?
Yeah, like relaxation training and, you know, kind of catching your thoughts and.
Basically, yes, you know, like calm, meditation, music, finding things you love. Like, I play music, so, you know, I kind of...
Tell me about that briefly. What instrument do you play?
I play drums, so when
I
get angry, I mean, I play guitar, I play a lot of instruments, you know,
okay.
I love learning new things, but I like to do that, but, you know, it's kind of fun.
What's your preferred instrument?
Drums.
Okay.
Of course. I'm probably horrible at it now. It's been like 2 years since I've been able to play. But, you know, like really play. You know, I play drums in between, but I haven't sat down and like practiced.
Sure. You got a drum kit and everything.
Yeah, I got a drum set and I currently have it at a bar down at Lucky's. I just kind of abandoned it though, so it's kind of like the house community drum set.
Okay.
Like thing for.
Sure.
I'm actually going to go try to do that today, but, you know, music makes me happy, but it's not something I can do all the time, you know, I'm not always in the best settings and things like that, too.
What's your favorite music?
I like jazz. I used to listen to death metal, believe it or not.
Okay.
Lyrically, but, you know, I find myself listening to, like, funk and jazz and, like, old, like, 50 sound,
right.
The 59 sound, I guess,
so
the golden era.
So you like a little bit of everything.
Yeah, I'm a very diverse person, I guess.
Okay.
You know?
I kind of
like it all started sounding the same. It started sounding on the phone. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of like I don't know if are you familiar with the show South Park?
Oh yeah. Right.
So they have this episode. It's like Stan's got Asperger's and. Like everything he hears on the phone and everything that people say just sounds like bar sounds because it's just shit. So, yeah, that's kind of like what death metal became to me. Like, man, all this sounds the same. It's just garbage. It sounds like shit. Yeah. Why do I like this? Why do I listen to this? But, yeah.
I don't know much about that.
But, yeah, I try to do things. But, you know, my life consists mostly of just work. You know, like I say, I work 6-7 days a week. I work 10 hours a day. Like get off work. My favorite thing to do lately is eat. You know, if I can get a good meal in, you know, and I eat alone because I'm single. You know, I mean, I date, I go out, but you know, when I start rambling, like I'm rambling with you, and you know, sometimes it's like, well, you need to back off, or you know, it kind of affects relationships. You know, or when people get to know me and I'm like having night terrors and they don't know what, you know, some people just want to help people. Some people just have really good hearts and stuff, you know, so it affects my relationships because like they can't save me, but they want that entitlement in their brain that they did something for somebody, you know.
Sure.
It's not a selfless thing. It's for self gain of them.
Sure. So
they,
you attract those kind of
leads. I mean, I guess, you know. Yeah. Those kind of ladies, they come in my life, and when they can't fix me, they get mad, and they gaslight me. This is all my fault that they can't be selfish enough to say that they did something for me. You know, it's just like, well, I'm not that type of person. You know, I mean, it's just, I don't know. So, and I don't know. But like, I find myself a little happy. You know, I'm just going through the motions. Though, you know, they tell you fake it till you make it. So, you know, I mean, I'm trying new things like podcasts, like. I want to do a podcast, and you know, that's kind of different, you know, because I can't really do my creativity, but I can talk to other people about their creativity, and I can share that with the world. And, you know, I like going to bars and stuff because I can sit around and drink alone, you know, I can sure pound that bottle back if I wanted to, but you know, I only go out for the social drink because I enjoy conversation. I don't relate to people that I work with. I don't like mixing work with. Outside of work. You know,
where do you eat around here?
Well, I like the little faux restaurants and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Off the avenue here. I love Stein's down the road. Stein's Market is like my favorite, but they're always closed. It's my favorite place to get a sandwich, though.
Where now?
Stein's.
Oh, I know Stein's.
Yeah.
I
mean, that place is.
Yeah.
Oh, that Reuben with that. Oh, that marble rye bread.
It's probably the best Jewish deli in the area.
I mean, I love it. I love it. I mean,
yeah,
I love
I,
it.
I know.
Everything, everything from the smell to the to waiting in line. You know, I love it all. I love everything about that place. I haven't been there in like a year and a half. I mean, uh-huh. Probably go there for lunch today if they're open. Yeah. But,
they?
Yeah.
They should be.
Yeah.
Yeah, they should be today.
But you know, I'm fine. I don't know, man. Like I'm real positive. Like I have a niece, you know, like she's the life of my life. That's really my best friend. You know, she's the most positive person in my life. She's like, I don't know. I don't have kids, you know. Probably.
So you got a brother or a sister?
Yeah, I got a brother, man. He's other than the aliens and stuff, you know. Like he's big in conspiracy, deep state.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
He doesn't know if he likes Trump or not, but he definitely does not like the Democratic Party and stuff. I'm not a liberal myself, you know, I'm more of an anarchist, but, yeah. You know, like, he is, oh, man, well, like, and it could be true, but he listens to, like, talk radio and not, like, the news kind of, like, crazy mm-hmm. alien.
Yeah,
like,
okay, a lot of people do that. How old is your brother?
Oh, we're 18 months apart. So.
Oh, wow. Oh. Wow, you guys are close.
Yeah. He wasn't around when I, like, too much, you know. He moved away before I did, so I've been kind of on my own. And, like, we kind of went different paths in life, you know. So, like, we could sit in the same room together, but I can't talk to him like I'm talking to you, you know. There's a lot of things. That's, I don't hold no grudges, because I don't know his personal vendettas. I don't know his admirations, or I don't know his opinions about my father, you know. We never had a sat-down conversation. Never. We just... You know, we get tears in our eyes and give each other a hug, and that's about all. We can't talk to each other. Like, we, you know, I never had a close family like that. I never had, like, a grandpa or a grandma or anybody, like, intermediate in my family I could trust.
How often do you see your mom?
Every other time. She's a nurse, actually, now. She went to nursing school, but that woman, oh my God, she is a hoarder. She's the most negative, toxic person I've been. Like, I love her to death, you know. My mother is a toxic, very toxic person. Like, she's been that way all my life, to be honest. And she tries. She loves me to death, you know. And I love her. I'll do anything I can for her. But, like I said, I could sit down and tell her, you know, something, and it gets blown out of proportion, and I'm sent somewhere else. And then I'm shamed about it, and guilt is about a lot of things. She needs a lot of help, too.
So you think she overreacts?
I know she does. I love that woman to death, you know. Like, I'll help her any way I can, but I can't help those that won't help themselves.
She lived in Mississippi?
Well, she did, but I moved her down to, well, me and my brother told her to get out of that house, and, you know, because...
Where is she living now?
Living with my brother right now. So okay. She's around the kids, you know.
And
kids.
Where does your brother live?
Over in Luling. I put that address. That's my mailing address.
Luling. Where the hell is that?
Oh, across the river from St. Rose.
Oh,
that's,
okay. Yeah, okay, so
you got that side of the river.
So it's going up towards Baton Rouge.
Yeah, so if you take I-10, you get out.
I don't know much about that.
You don't leave the city, do you?
No.
Yeah.
I'm a city boy.
I feel you. I didn't leave when I lived here. I was living with an old guitar buddy of mine down the street on South Liberty and Janet Street. Like, the room I lived in was a shithole, but I happily gave him $600 a month just to get out of Mississippi, but I didn't need to. Like, he didn't, he's like, man, he ain't gotta pay me. I'm just like, no, I'm gonna pay rent, you know? Like, I'm a good guy. You taking my money. So he's like, you helped me out so much, so get me out of that situation, you know? Meth head Mississippi.
I gotcha. Well, here's what I'm thinking, because what we've probably gotta stop here is, I think we ought to agree to meet at least 3 to 5 times at least, and I would, you know, teach you a few, you know, kind of coping strategies that I know that might help you with sleep and mood management, that kind of stuff. No exposure, no making you.
I mean, exposure just made me a real sarcastic asshole.
Yeah.
When I get angry, I just get real sarcastic, and I just
And we won't put you there.
Yeah.
But I would teach you what I know and see if it's useful for you. Maybe a way of controlling the anxiety, along with your current.
Yeah.
So you don't have to totally rely on it. I think we could do that together. All right.
And I also have other things.
allowed for marijuana, and I explained that to you, but I know this state, they did open up the laws differently for, like, low, like, cannabinoid, like, treatment and things like that. And, like I said, I really don't like barbiturates at all. I don't like taking pills at all. I'm not saying but I'm open to, trying a medical marijuana thing if that's possible. I don't know, like, the steps or things, but that's under your judgment.
I couldn't do that because that would take a medical doc to do that.
Okay.
The state. Yeah.
I mean, that's the only thing I was like, that's not the reason why I came in here, yeah. But, I do okay. have questions about getting off of any type of pill because I've taken so many, like, it's...
Yeah. That, you'd have to talk to, a primary care physician.
Or like an everyday doctor and
yeah,
stuff like that.
And see what they say. And then, because no, I don't do that. We could refer you to a psychiatrist here if that would help.
I mean, whatever
okay.
treatment that you want to do. I mean, that's not the sole purpose. I know a guy named Tommy down the corner. I don't do that.
Excuse, I'm planning on going in today. I just need something saying I was here, besides a receipt saying please excuse everything for our session today. Is that possible?
Typically,
have
do you have a form?
Right, the form. So I can email you a sample.
You can do what?
I can email you a sample.
Yeah.
So you can see what other people have done in the past. It's usually very brief.
Yeah, no, I know.
And then, I can email it to you once you're able to write it. Or do you need it right now?
I need it now because I gotta go to work. And when I go to work, they want this right now. They're gonna be like, hey, you just, dicking around. You gotta go. I'm a dime a dozen on my work.
Sure. No worries.
My boss is an asshole.
No,
I'm cussing too much too.
Do you want me to email it to you now then?
Well, I've got to take this other person.
I know. I can let her know if you think it would be. How about, could you have a seat in the waiting area? And then I'll just.